you. It is so good to be here. It is, and good to be with you. I actually have not been up here since all this has happened. And this is pretty impressive. I always feel obligated to tell people. I mean, how many in the room have never heard me talk before? Let me see your hands. Well, I always feel obligated to warn everybody, especially you. I am a stutterer. All that means is that I stutter, and I'm actually pretty good at a stutterer. And it's always exciting. I mean, you never know. I mean, I can honestly say stuttering has made my life very exciting because I never know in any situation if I'll be able to say something or not. And I've had a bunch of situations where I've had something to say, wanted to say, and just had an exciting time trying to get it said. I don't stutter as well as I used to stutter. As a kid, I may have stuttered as well as anybody has ever stuttered. I'm not sure if they keep those kind of stats or not, but as a kid, I stuttered well. But I just want you to know I do stutter. If I get stuck, just wait because something is coming. That's what I want you to know. We're in Joshua. The book of Joshua, if you have a Bible and you want to look at that, we're going to read a couple of verses in chapter 5, actually verses 13 through 15. We're going to refer to some things in chapter 6 as well. We're in the series of called Forward, in the book of Joshua, about God is doing a work in the nation of Israel and his people. He's led them out of Egypt in bondage, through the wilderness, and now they're on the way to the promised land, and God's doing a great thing, but they arrive in, of course, last week, we saw they crossed the River Jordan, which was another obstacle, and now they're on at the city of Jericho, which has these incredible walls around it. And it's just somehow God is leading them to the promised land. They're going to get there, but they got to go through all these struggles. And this may be the greatest struggle because there's no way they can defeat this city of Jericho because it's on this giant hill. It's about 9 acres in size, has the giant walls around it. And essentially what it is, it's an impossible situation. They're facing the impossible in this deal. You know what I want to do this morning is look at this as what the Bible says about what God did then. But more than that, I want us to realize how God does this in our lives. Actually, I want to say and share with you how he does it in my life and just what takes. And actually, you know, I'm going to tell this story now. I was going to wait and tell the story at the end, and I'll probably tell the story again at the end. But this is my point. And this will be the conclusion at the end of this thing. So if you fall asleep, you won't miss the conclusion. 22 years ago, my wife got a breast cancer, and we didn't know exactly what it was. We did the test and all those kinds of things, and actually it was 9-1-1, September 11th of 2021, and the planes had hit the buildings already. It's like 8:30 in the morning, and Sheila's going to get the word from the surgeon exactly what it is and what we're going to have to do. If it's serious, if it's cancer, if we're going to have to do mastectomy, all those things. And Sheila's teaching school at the time. We're in this little room, this workroom and closet area. And we're waiting on the phone call. We didn't have cell phones back then, or at least Big Shots did. I didn't have one, and we didn't have one. But it's the landline in this little office. We're waiting for the phone call. Gets the call. I mean, it's a tiny little room. And we're sitting knee to knee. She's right there. She answered the phone call. The surgeon said, you know what, it's serious, it's cancer. We're going to have to remove, you know, the deal, do mastectomies, do reconstruction, do the whole thing. And it's got to be done immediately. But she hangs up, and she's looking at me, I'm looking at her, and I'm, you know, I do this all the time with people. I mean, I do pastoral care, I help people go through things, and you know what, I mean, I'm there, I'm the strong, but you know what, It changed everything when it was my wife. It's me. It's us. And she could tell I wasn't doing very well. I mean, am I going to lose my wife in this thing? Is it going to be over? I mean, what? She looks at me, takes my hand, and says this. It's going to be okay. God's going to get us through this. We're just going to trust the Lord. And it changed everything. And just a reminder who He is. He's here with us. And you know what? Yes, it's a struggle, but God is going to get us through this thing, and it's going to be okay. That was huge. Well, you know what? That's what happens in this situation. Now, in this situation, there's going to be a great victory. There's going to be a great miracle. And God's going to do a great a thing in this story. So here are the four things that take place in this miracle. One, they're going to trust the Lord. Is what Joshua and the nation of Israel are going to do. Two, you know what they're going to do? They're going to obey His word. Whatever God tells them, that's what they're going to do. And then third, you know, they're not going to give up. They're going to keep on keeping on. They're not going to quit. And then fourth, you know what happens at the end? God does a miracle in this most impossible situation. And the end result is they experience God's victory in their life. Well, here's the first point. You got to trust the Lord. Here's how I want us to look at chapter 5. We're going to look at Joshua, verses 13 through 15. Now, Joshua, he's leading the people. He sees this wall city. There's no way. He's overwhelmed. He's got this impossible situation, and he's not sure how it's going to happen, what's going to take place. He is overwhelmed, just like I was in that room with Sheila, just like every one of us have been in a situation before. It's an impossible situation. It's a huge obstacle, huge weakness we got, huge situation, whatever it is, it's bigger than us. We know what we're going to do. Here's what happens. Joshua's there, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, going through all that stuff, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there's a man who was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you one of us, he says, or are you for them? And he said, no, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. I am essentially the Lord of hosts. I am God, is basically saying. Most scholars believe that this is a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ. This is the person of Jesus Christ showing up in this situation again. He said, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. He says, I'm not on that side. I'm not on your side. Essentially, you're on my side. I have come to take over and to be involved in the middle of all this stuff. And then Joshua does this in response. When he recognizes who he is and responds to who he is, he falls on his face on the earth and he worships. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? What do you want me to do? He experiences his person. He's going to experience the plan God has for him in this miracle. And the commander of the Lord's army, the Lord Jesus, said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet. The place where you're standing is holy. And he did that. Joshua realizes, hey, he's not in control anymore. Hey, it isn't about him and what he's going to do. Almighty God is here. And Joshua discovers, I'm not in control. I'm not in charge. And he sees the position of the one who's standing in front of him. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the Lord Jesus, who's the commander of the army of God. And he says, I have come to take over, to take charge, to lead. I'm going to direct this battle, essentially, he says. I'm going to lead this army. I'm going to lead you to a great victory. He reminds them, hey, the battle is the Lord's. God is in the charge of this thing. And he is the Lord of hosts. He realizes that, and then he recognized this is Jesus. You know, Joshua had been with Moses, and when God revealed himself to Moses, he told Moses, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob, I'm the God of Joseph. That is who I am. And Moses realized that, hey, I'm not doing this thing by myself. God is with me. So Joshua, realizing who it is, recognizes, he bows in worship to honor him and the Lord Jesus, takes off his shoes and his sandals. of humility and honor, and he turns over all his plans to this commandment when he says, what does my Lord say to my servant? And he submits himself, he surrenders himself, and Jesus is going to give to Joshua the exact plan of what he's supposed to do for overcoming this city and winning the victory, and all he has to do is just to obey by faith. Christ promised, all he has to do is step in. Joshua realized, hey, this situation I'm in, it's bigger than me. It's greater than me. It's more powerful than me. I can't do anything to save this, but now somebody is here who's greater than this situation, who's more powerful than this situation, and who can lead us in the midst of this thing, through this thing, and experience God's victory on the other side. My experience with Sheila, just saying it's going to be okay. God's going to get us through that. All we have to do is trust the Lord. I had an experience with my dad. Same. He got pancreatic cancer. This is 30-something years ago. Got a pancreatic cancer, which is a bad type to get. There are three types, the way I understand. He got the worst type. Actually, told my dad he got 3 months to live. We didn't know how serious it was at that time. We just knew something was wrong. So he goes to MD Anderson. We spend a whole week at MD Anderson. I'm there with my mom. We're going through the test. We're going through all that stuff. Now the last day, he's in that little gown, you know, they have in hospital deals. And he's sitting on that examining table. My mom's right beside him. I'm right there in the room. And all of a sudden, this guy walks in. And actually, it wasn't even the surgeon. He was in surgery and couldn't get there. It was his assistant guy, and he comes in. He didn't have any manners. He just said, hey, you got the worst cancer, you got the worst type, you got 3 months to live. I'd go home and get all your stuff together. And I just remember thinking, this giant, a pancreatic cancer, just walked into that room and just kind of dominated the whole thing. And I'm looking at my dad, and he's just, man, I mean, he's my hero. I'm the greatest man in my life, and he looked weak, he looked sick, he looked old, he's kind of just hunched over, and just a thing bigger than any of us is kind of dominating that situation. I just said, well, Dad, Mom, I go get the car. And so we're going to leave. I walk out of that hospital. I remember just walking through that hospital, that giant hospital. I mean, there's thousands of people there every day in the halls, feeling so alone, so overwhelmed, what are we going to do? And just walk across the street to them. A parking garage, I get in this rent car that we had rented, and I get in the car, and it was like there was a moment, now you may think this is weird, and I don't know, but it's not real, because it was real. It's like the Spirit of the living God just showed up in that car and just overwhelmed, and what I heard him say, what I sensed he was saying, hey, Neil, I want to remind you, these doctors have a word, but I'm going to have the last word about your dad. What happens to your dad is going to be, I am here and I am going to be with you through this experience. It just changed everything to realize, hey, who he is, he's here, he's with us. You know, that's the miracle of the incarnation. Yes, this thing, Jesus shows up. You know, Jesus came and was born of a virgin. He lived, he went through all that he did so he could be with us. And the hope of glory is now Jesus Christ is in us. You know, my stuttering thing, all of my life I've struggled so much with the stuttering thing. My life struggle has been the stuttering thing. And as a kid, many of you have heard me share my whole story of just feeling inadequate. There's nobody's going to be a place for me. And I remember just as a little kid just crying, coming home from school just frustrated and feeling stupid, feeling ugly because of my stutter, and just I'd crawl up in my mom's lap, and my mom would say this, hey, son, I don't understand this either. I don't like this any more than you do, but I know God loves you. And I know God somehow, some way, is going to use this in your life. And you know, we just have to trust him. Just to realize, you know what overcomes the obstacles? It's faith in Jesus. You know, the weapons are spiritual. They're not physical. They're not earthly. The battle is the Lord. Christ is the ultimate victor. He gives us the victory. We can trust him because you know what? In this moment, as I go through life, whatever happens, there's somebody greater here in my life in the middle of all this. Someone who knows everything. He's able to do anything. Who is everywhere. Faith honors God, so God's honor faith. The bottom line, I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to trust him in the midst of this thing, through this thing. Faith is the key. Just trust God is what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's what Psalm 23 says. You know what? We have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads. He does. He protects. He feeds. He does all those things. And in verse 6, it says, as a result of having a shepherd, I'm just following him. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to trust the Lord through it all. You know, there's an old hymn, and I realize many of us, or many of you don't know hymns, and don't, I mean, but I was raised on hymns. You know, one of my favorite hymns, and just, it's this old hymn. Let me just read this. I ought to sing it for you, but I can't sing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Listen to these words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, the chorus. How I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. And then second verse, I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me and will be with me till the end. Then Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. That's how I'm going to trust Jesus. They trusted. They just said, hey, I'm getting out of the way. I'm following Jesus. You know, the second thing they did, real quick, they obeyed his word. God actually revealed a plan to Joshua, what they're going to do. Now, this plan is bizarre. Now, I don't know if you know the story of the Battle of Jericho, but it's fascinating. What they did is, hey, they're going to march around this city 7 days. And once around 6 days, and they have a procession. Exactly how they're going to do it. Here's how they're supposed to do it. God has a plan. And the armed men, verse 3 and 7 of chapter 6, the armed men are going to lead the procession, the army guys. After them, 7 priests. You've got trumpets that they're going to blow. That's 6-4. Follow them. The Ark of the Covenant was to follow that thing right there. And you know what? That is the presence. That represents the presence and the power of God. And they knew, man, as long as we got that Ark of the Covenant, God is with us and we have nothing to fear. You know, we have something better in us than the Ark of the Covenant. We have the living Christ through the Holy Spirit living within us. His presence and his power. But then after that the rest of the people are going to fall. What they did is march around in silence once a day for 6 days. Trumpets are blowing the whole time. Then on the seventh day, they march around 7 times. And on the 7th time, trumpets blow and they shout and the walls come down. Now that's an incredible plan. That's a strange plan. That's not a man's plan. That's not a military plan. But that is God's plan. And God's ways not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're above us. He has his plan. He has his way of doing things. The point is, the people had a choice. We have a choice. The question is, are we going to do this thing God's way or reject it and devise our own plan for doing the impossible in an impossible situation? That's the question. That was for them. That is for us. God has a plan. Has a plan for your life. Has a plan for your day-to-day, has a plan for your situation. He's working in the midst of that. He's in control. He's above it all. He's in control of it all. And he can accomplish his will in us and through us through anything. The question is, am I going to just trust him and obey his plan, whatever his plan is, even if it is as bizarre as doing this around the city all these times? Because you know what? They did it because they obeyed and trusted God. They experienced a miracle. God did a supernatural thing, and they won the day. You know, for you and me, hey, God has a plan for life, for love, for marriage, for sex, for family, for work, for money, for giving, for everything, for obedience. God has a plan for everything. And the question is, am I going to do life God's way and just trust Him? And I remember in high school, you know, I was raised in a good Christian home, and, you know, I heard the whole day about being saving yourself sexually for marriage and just trusting the Lord and and I remember, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I remember in high school just thinking, I mean, I'm not even dating anybody. I don't have a in my life, and all these other guys are doing all this stuff. I mean, I'm in the locker room. You know what the locker room's like. I mean, they're doing all this, I mean, sex, all the talking, bragging about all this stuff. They did half the stuff they said they did. It was unbelievable. And, you know, I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm missing out on this. God's robbing me on this. You know what I realized? Doing things God's way. God just protected me from a lot of junk that a lot of guys end up to. You know, I ended up now meeting a girl on a blind date and getting married. She was a virgin. I was a virgin. And I don't know what those guys have in their life in this way. But I know what I got. And what I got is incredible. You know why? It's a God thing. It's a man who makes a commitment to a woman and said, I'm committed to you for life, one man and one woman for the rest of my life. You know, it's glorious. It's beautiful. And I've been married 48 years. It's incredible. The point is, I'm going to do life God's way. I'm going to obey His word, whatever it says. Even if the world thinks it's ridiculous, I'm doing things God's way. You know what? I believe there's nothing. The best way to live is God's way. I'm a granddad now. I've got 12 grandkids, and every time we gather, we're going to get together tonight for Sheila's birthday at the house and just have a time. I always have a time of life lessons from Nani and Papa. And I've shared this a bunch of times. Hey, kids, it's best just to do life God's way. You just trust Him. You just obey. Third thing, real quick, and I know we got to hurry. Don't give up. Don't quit. The Bible talks about that. What the Bible is be steadfast. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just keep trusting God. You know what? Joshua and them, they had to go 7 times around, once for 6 days around this thing. And everybody had to be silent. You couldn't say anything. Now think about that. You do it one day and you think, well, why are we doing this? You do it 2 days. No, this, what's the deal? You do it 3 days. I don't know if I'm going to do this tomorrow. I mean, just for 6 days, you got to do this. Then the 7th day, you go around 7 times. You have to be thinking on the 4th time, on the 7th day, man, why am I doing this? This is the most stupid thing I've ever done. But then, boom, you do the whole thing. You don't quit. You stay all the way to the end, regardless. People are laughing at you. People don't understand. But on the 7th time, God does an incredible victory, and the walls fall down, and the obstacle is defeated, and the bottom line, the point is, you just keep on. And you know what? It's always a struggle. It's always a challenge. It's never easy. It always takes longer. There's always feeling it's not going to happen for me, but you keep on keeping on. You just keep walking. You keep believing. You keep living for Jesus. You keep marching. You keep trumpeting. You keep shouting. You keep going, asking, seeking, knocking. You do all this. You keep worshiping. You witness. You just keep on keeping on because God's not through. God's got a plan. God's in control. And in the end, God's will is going to be done. The miracle happens when I trust the Lord. I just obey His word regardless. Just trust Him. He's got a plan, this thing. And I'm not giving up. And then fourth and last, they experience God's miracle, God's victory, God's victory. Now, I know I'm late, but you got to hear this. You know, in this story here, it's victory. What they prayed and asked for and wanted, it happened just like that. Doesn't always happen like that in real life, right? Haven't you prayed for something before and it didn't happen exactly the way you wanted it to happen? You know why I said experience God's victory? Because the battle is the Lord and the victory is the Lord. Sometimes God gives the victory and the most incredible victory exactly the way I asked for it. Actually, with my wife Sheila, you know what I discovered? Hey, it was early. And non-aggressive, you're going to be fine. After 22 years, he said, hey, you're going to die from something else. This isn't going to kill you. Well, in September, she got breast cancer in the other breast. Had to have mastectomy in that breast. She just had the reconstruction in January. Went through all this stuff. But again, it's early. It's not aggressive. It's an answer to prayer. It's actually a victory. But you know what? With my dad, when he got that cancer, you know what? I have never prayed in my life as much as I prayed asking God to save my dad, to intervene in my dad's life, and do a miracle in my dad's life. I mean, my brothers, we got together. We prayed. We fasted. We asked God. I've never wept as much. I've never fasted as much. I've never prayed as much. And God, save my dad. Spare my dad. He's too young. He was only 59 years old. Man, I want him around for my kids and grandkids. Just God, intervene, do a miracle. You know what? My dad died after 6 months. You know what I've realized? Now, again, in my mind, the victory is my what I want. The victory in the economy of God is God's victory. And you know, for my dad, you know what it was? God healed him by taking him home. And what he did in us, you know what he did? He was with us. He did a victory in my dad's life. You know, now looking back after 30 years, I wouldn't want my dad to live to be an old man and go through all that stuff that old people have to go through and just be in a chair for the rest of his life and not be able to move. So actually, I rejoice now. It makes sense. Hey, it is okay. God did do a great thing. And my dad is gloriously in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven. That's a victory. It's been this whole deal in my life with the stuttering thing, which I've struggled so long. My mom said, hey, it's going to be okay. God's going to bless. We just got to trust him. He's going to use it. You know, after all these years, 40 years here, almost 50 years in the ministry and all this stuff, there's no way this is going to happen. You know what the point is? Hey, it didn't happen the way I wanted because I always ask him, especially as a young man, God, take this thing away. Remove these walls. Just remove this stutter. And he never removed that stutter. It's still struggle. But you know, in the midst of that, in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of the stuttering, God has still won a victory. That's the point. You know, sometimes in the midst of the storm, God just removes the storm. Sometime a greater miracle is all he does is calm the Christian in the midst of the storm and gets that Christian through the storm, ultimately to the glory of God and the witness of the world around me. I want to conclude. I'm going to show you a little clip. It's just a minute and a half or so. But it's, and it might be a stupid illustration. I'm full of stupid illustrations. I gotta tell you. But I want you to see this. This is when I was playing at Baylor in 1973. This film is 50 plus years old. This is an experience I had. We're playing TCU for homecoming. We're behind 34-7. We start this amazing comeback, and comebacks score 3 touchdowns. Now we're only down by 6, 34-28. We make this last drive to win this thing and get all the way down like on the 8-yard line to score, clock's running. I try to stop the clock and throw the ball out of bounds. I threw it out of bounds. It was 4th down and just a major mistake, major deal. Well, they were filming a film on Coach Taft. And they shot this film and then edited this film just to show my mistake at the end of the game. So what? I'm number 11 in green for the Baylor Bears. So watch this. This video, real quick. It's just short.
Okay. We're going to go fly right, 96 slant. The cover, throw that ball over that tail there. Put your tail back, may be open. Rushing back. Give him some protection now. Let's go. We got to have it. Hey, that's all of our timeout. Hey, we don't have a timeout.
Count of the plays and on 4th down threw the ball out of bounds to stop the clock.
Hey, Neil! Hey, Neil! Neil, it was 4th down! It was 4th down!
Almost won it.
Thank you.
across this field, and I was very dejected. But going into the dressing room, I knew that something of importance had occurred, because a group of young men had not given up.
I want to say right now that, Neil, I think you did a fabulous, unbelievable job. That's what I want to say. Hey, Neil, get your head up. Look at me. You hear what I said?
I feel so sorry for that guy. You know, I didn't even know they were making a film. The next year, when I was a senior, 1974, Coach Taft said, hey, I want to show you something. He shows us that film. I'm thinking, oh, no. Maybe they won't even mention my play. What is the whole point of the whole story? I mean, Mike, the greatest mistake I've ever made as an athlete is going to be shown to Fellowship of Christian Athletes Group, who produced the film, all over the world. Everybody's going to see my mistake. I remember thinking, just as I'm watching it with all my guys on the team, just how embarrassed I was. Why? Now the world's going to see it. My greatest mistake on film forever. FCA did show it in high schools and junior high schools all over America. I've had so many guys come up to me. So you know what? I saw that film with you. And that night, at that FCA meeting, I invited Jesus Christ into my life. You know, Dr. Larry Taylor, who was our headmaster at our school for 20 years, Mike replaced him. When he joined our staff for 20 years, he comes up to me and he says this, Neil, I was a junior in high school, never went to church. My family never went to church. My high school football coach invited me to an FCA meeting. I wasn't interested in FCA, but I love my coach. He wanted me to go. They were going to have pizza. So I said, I'm going to go. I went to that FCA meeting. I saw that film, and I was powerfully touched up by that film. They presented the gospel, and that night I gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here's my point. My greatest defeat as an athlete, God used to be an incredible victory. There's going to be guys and gals in heaven because of what God did in that moment. Here's my point. All of us got struggles. All of us got stuff. All of us got obstacles, got walls in our life. The point is, God is greater than any of these things. What do we got to do? We got to trust the Lord. Just trust Him, because it's going to be okay. He's here. He's going to get us through this. We're going to obey whatever He says to do. We're going to obey. We're not going to quit. We're not giving up. We'll follow Him all the way in, and the bottom line, the end. It may not be my victory, the way I defined it, but God's going to do a great thing for His glory and not for my good. That's the point. Would you bow your head just for a moment? We're going to have just a moment of invitation. I guess the invitation is just to trust Jesus. How sweet it is to trust Jesus, to know Him personally. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's bigger than anything and everything. He loves you. He created you. He died for you. He's got a plan for your life. And He wants to step out of heaven and step into your heart and just bless you, just remake you into the person He created you to be and give you life now and life evermore. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you're running your life and doing your own thing, and maybe it's time just to surrender your life to the God who created you. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if you want to accept Jesus, I'm asking you to come. I'm asking you to, just by faith, with just a little faith you have, if that's all you have, just kind of step in the aisle, walk down the front. One of the ministers is going to be up at the front. We'll receive you. And you can walk out of here knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you're going to heaven when you die, knowing that there's a God who's in your heart, in your life. He's going to get you through anything and everything, the good, bad, and the ugly, and it's going to be okay. I realize a lot of us have trusted Jesus as our Savior, but it just may be the word we need to hear is, I'm going to obey God and obey. I'm going to do life God's way. And I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm going to be faithful. And whatever the circumstances may be, I committed my life to Christ today. You need a church. This would be a wonderful place to plug your life, the life of your family. Won't you come? In a moment, if God has spoken to you and you want to respond, I'm asking you to come, to leave your seat and walk down here to the front. Make a decision for Jesus. God bless these moments. May you speak and may we obey and respond. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.